Yeah. Good morning. Fast approaching Rosh Hashanah. We all want to be safe at the din, to be judged favorably, have a positive judgment. The title of this of today's drasha is making sure acceptable. Maybe I can share with you an idea which will help our sicha v'chapor quicker. Shlomo HaMelech read, he says in Mishlei, Lev Yodea Moes Nafshoi. The truth is, everybody knows their own shortcomings, their own failings, their own limitations. Everybody has their own introspection and to teshuva on those chatzon. They feel that they've been over during the year. But I want to share with you an idea which already Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shai Teshuva, and he calls it Pesach Tikva Nichbad Mo'od. A gate of hope, a very honorable gate of hope, a very important idea. We know Chazal tell us in many places, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't overlook anything. Rachman Litzlan, every chet, everything we do is taken into cheshbon, either we do teshuva or Rachman Litzlan, worse than happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never ignore and forget and pass over our veris. On the other hand, there is a posuk, we say in Slich, we say the whole time, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over our pesha, which actually means he pardons and he ignores. Over, Rashi said, means he actually ignores. There are certain circumstances where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually ignores aveiros the person has done. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks, Oiva al Pesha, to whom is that? To who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oiva al Pesha? What type of person who does aveiros does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ignore those sins? And the Gemara says, Lemi she Oiva al Pesha. And Rashi explains, one who overlooks sins committed against him. If we think a minute, other people, they commit evil against us, they disturb us, they stare us, we're grieved, we're offended, whatever it is. If we are willing to ignore what they do to us, then midot in the negev midot, you know, Hashem tzuch, Hashem is like a shadow, whatever we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we follow the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be misnagged like that. If we are over our pressure, we ignore other people who disturb us, the midah keneged midah, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over our pesha. And the Gemara over there, Rosh Hashanah, tells the story of a Hunabed of Yeshua who was very ill in bed, and our papa came to visit him, and our papa saw that Hunabed Yeshua's time was coming very close to an end. And he said to the Talmidim of Hunabed Yeshua, and in the earshot of Hunabed Yeshua, he said, prepare his shrouds because his time is coming near. And our papa left, and Avuna Beg Yeshua made a full recovery, and our papa was embarrassed to meet Avuna Beg Yeshua again. He had said in his room that his time was up, and here he was, he's recovered, made a full recovery. And Avuna Beg Yeshua sent a message to our papa not to be embarrassed, because he said to him, he saw that he was being taken away from this world. That in Bezum Shomailo they said that he's got justification to sustain this world because he doesn't stand on his principles, he's tolerant of others, and he's over our pesha. He is a person who is over our pesha, and to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merachem. And if we ponder for a minute, we realize that it's a challenge we have on a day to day, hour to hour, whether it's been Adam Lachavera in business, parents with children, children with parents, teachers with pupils, whatever it is, day to day, hour to hour, we have this nisoyon where people, they grieve us, they offend us, whatever it is. And however difficult it is, every time we are kodesh our yetzer and we ignore it to the best of our ability, that will help Bezras Hashem, that Kodesh Baruch Hu will be over our pesha. He will answer our prayers and respond to everything we ask from him. Chazal tell us, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah again, that there were three of the Imoys who were answered in Rosh Hashanah. We know they were meant to, they ought to have been childless, unable to have children. Sarah, Rachel, and Chanah. We name the Kriyas Hashem Rosh Hashanah about Sarah and the Haftarahs about Chanah. They were all to have been barren, unable to have children, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered them on Rosh Hashanah, and they were very good to tell us about Yomah. If we look carefully at the three parshas, at the three episodes, we'll find that what actually caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember them, Hashem Tocha the Sarah by Yisrael Echem Meshroch Hu, the previous episode, just before that, was when they were misnagged, they demonstrated the midah of being over our pesha. We know with sorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already a year earlier had told Avraham, the Malachim had told Avraham, that Sarah would have a child. Yet, it was only later on, the Hashem Pokad Yisrael. What happened just before the Hashem Pokad Yisrael? So was affected by Abimelech. She was taken away by Abimelech. And Abimelech mistreated her. Sadly, Avram and Sarah suffered greatly. Yet, we find that Abimelech, he was smitten, his household was smitten, yet Avram and Sarah went out of their way to go and daven for Abimelech and Sarah, for Abimelech. The fact that Avram and Sarah, after having been mistreated by Abimelech, all the suffering they went through, yet when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and smit Abimelech and his household, Avram and Sarah went out of their way to daven, that demonstrates an unbelievable middah of being not only being able to tolerate other people who make them suffer, but actually faket, to go and daven for them. That is the highest darga of the Misa over our Pesha, to ignore what other people do for them, and even to daven for their refuah shleima. That was an unbelievable demonstration, and the next parsha says, "Hashem pokad Yisrael," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, remembered so. Seemingly, it was that middah which made Hashem, so to say, remember Sarah on Rosh Hashanah, and she was zeichah to Yitzchak to be born. And the same is with Rachel. Rachel, who also would have been barren, unable to have children, yet Chazal tell us that by Yisrael Kimet Rachel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Rachel for the fact that she was meisa nefesh to give a simonim to Leah. Remember that Rachel, Yaakov and Rachel were afraid that Laban would swap Rachel for Leah. And Rachel was in danger, and in fact Laban did it, and Rachel was in danger of losing the ability to be able to marry Yaakov, and in fact Chazal Peres would have to marry Esau, and it was an unbelievable mysterious nefesh that she gave the simonim. Yet it wasn't as soon as she gave the simonim that Hashem remembered her. It was many years later. And it happened after a short story, a seemingly harmless story, where Leah's son Reuben went out to the fields, he went out into the fields to collect dudoyim for his mother. And Rachel says to Leah, "Tenu lo no li mi didoy b'neich. Give me a few of those didoyim." And Leah answers back to her, "Hama'at kachich ishi. Is it not enough that you take away my husband, that you want to take away the didoyim of my son?" And Rachel says to Leah, "You're right. Lochein yishtav Yaakov will be in your tent tonight." An unbelievable thing that Leah said to Rachel, "Hama'at kachich ishi." Rachel took Leah's husband away. Leah was only ever able to marry Yaakov because of the unbelievable mysterious nefesh that Rachel did. It was unbelievable mysterious nefesh. Later on, many generations, when Klal Yisrael were taken away from out of Yerushalayim into Bavel, and the Medrash tells us Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov went running to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and were mitzvahed for their descendants and that they should come back to Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ignored their tefillah until Rachel came, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered her in the schus of the mysterious nefesh that you gave the simonim to Leah, an unbelievable mysterious nefesh. Remember by her giving the simon to Lot, her possibility of marrying Yaakov, and she would have to marry Esau, an unbelievable middle mysterious nefesh. Leah was eternally, should have been eternally grateful to Rachel for having been allowed to marry Yaakov. Yet, she says to her, "Hama'at tachet isha." Woman, Rachel did the unbelievable middle of chesed, receives no hakaras hatoi for it. That unbelievable difficulty for Rachel to be able to take such words, "Hama'at tachet isha." Yet, Rachel doesn't answer Leah back, she accepts it, and she says, "Lochen yishtab balay lorahu." And the same we find with Chana and Penina both married to Elkanah. Chana, the mother of Shmuel Hanavi, Chana couldn't have children, and Penina, the pasuk tells us, she upset her, she offended her, she taunted her. The Medrash tells us that Penina used to say every morning to Chana, "Did you buy toys for your children? Did you buy clothes for your babies?" This was Chana was suffering all her life; she was unable to have children. And Penina taunted her, and she didn't answer back. The pasuk says, and Medrash tells that she took it as a siman min hashamayim that she has to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ki meirov sichi v'kasti dibarti ad heino." Chana said to Eli HaKohen, it's because of my sadness and such like that brings me to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But she didn't. She was over our pesha without taking revenge against Penina. With that midah again, she was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. And I think that's the lesson we have to learn in Rosh Hashanah, that from these three Moys, that this middah of being of not taking revenge, of accepting every time a person commits harm to a person, taking it, ignoring it, and even Avraham Avinu davened for Avimelech, it's with that middah that could dispose of every person who accepts our tefillahs. What we have to understand is that although it sounds like a shortcut, an easy way, so to say, to be able that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should ignore our avodas, but it's not easy. These things happen day to day, as I mentioned, very, very difficult sometimes, just to be able something that harms you, whether it's financial, whatever it is, to be able to ignore it and move on is very difficult. Possibly the easiest way to be able to overcome it and conquer it gradually, it is a big avodah, but one can gradually overcome it, even if it's only one that once every day, whatever it is by appreciating that whenever Reuven harms Shimon, Shimon has to appreciate that it's not Reuven who's harmed him, that it's the prophet, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was using Reuven as a tool to harm him. The Sefer HaChinuch says in the Mitzvah of Le'sitar Le'sitar, the Aveir which the Torah says a person mustn't take revenge. The Sefer HaChinuch who goes out to explain every single Mitzvah in the Torah, he explains the idea behind the Sikim and the Sitar, and he says, Pshuta Kemashmoy. When Reuven harmed Shimon, Shimon has to appreciate that it wasn't Reuven who harmed him. Reuven was simply a tool in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand to bring that harm. And it's not, he should have nothing personally against Reuven. Once the person appreciates that it's not from Reuven, he should have no talents on Reuven, and that's the Sefer HaChinuch. That's the reason why the Torah prohibits the love of Le'sikim Le'sikar. Because in fact, it wasn't Reuven who harmed him. A person has to appreciate his HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once a person appreciates that it's not Reuven, but he is simply only a tool in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not easy. He's got no talents on Reuven. And more than that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has explained it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being for a reason, whatever the reason is. Whether it's because of our various, whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a question. Sometimes we'll understand it, sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll understand it later on, sometimes we'll never understand it. But it's a lot easier to appreciate, to understand it if we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. Rav Shach in Hakdom to Rabbi Ezri says the Pshat in the Pasuk in last week's Sedra in Vayelech, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Klal Yisrael will go off the path b'chor api b'yei mahu v'azavti mitzati panay mehem u'mitza'uhu ro'os rabos v'tzoros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it will come to a time when my children Klal Yisrael mitza'uhu ro'os rabos, bad things, evil things will happen to them, ro'os rabos v'tzoros. Soros, the Targum explains, soros is besides the evil, the actual happening, soros is the difficulty, the emotional difficulty it is that a person has when bad things happen. Whether it's depression, whatever it is, besides the actual bad thing that happens, the person can't take it. That is a tzoros, a tightness, tzoros from loss of restriction, it's very hard to take. And the apostle carries on, and you'll say on that day that it's because HaKadosh Baruch is not my mixed, that mitzauni ha-ro'os ha'ela, that these evil things happen. And Ashach asks, why at the beginning of the apostle does it say ro'os v'tzoros? And after you recognize that it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in your midst, it only says ro'os, it doesn't say ro'os with tzoros. And he explains, because as long as a person doesn't even realize it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's not only ro'os, it's tzoros as well. Tzoros is a difficulty which a person has to take those evil things, whether it's depression, emotional difficulties, he has tainus on somebody else, he has complaints against other people, it's ro'os with tzoros, it's very difficult to take. Once Klal Yisrael come to the Madrega and they realize there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's only a hesk upon him, but there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything that happens is from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He may be hiding his face, but there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu who does everything. Then it's only ro'os, it's no more tzoros. The actual happening is reasons for it, but the tzoros, the difficulty a person has in taking those ro'os, disappears. That's the concept that a person has to realize, that everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Somebody asked me in Parshas Kisavo, Parshas Kisavoy, we have the klolos and the brochos. The klolos, if a person is boicher berav, there's klolos, and if he's boicher betur, there's brochos. And somebody asked me, we find many, many more klolos than brochos. The klolos is onashir klolos, and at the end of the klolos it says, "Gam asheloikos the batera hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring them." An unbelievable amount of klolos, but brachos we find very few. And where's the emes came from? That there should be so many more kronos than brachos. And I answered him with the same idea. Back in the Makim Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in Gittin, the sugya, the agadato of the Negev, the Chulban Bayis, where the Gemara relates a story that when the Romans came to Salaim, they kidnapped two boys, and the two boys were tortured by the Romans. And in the middle of the torture, when one of them was suffering terribly, he said to the other one, where's the pasuk in Parshas Kisavoy that's meramus to this torture that was suffering? And he quoted a pasuk in Parshas Kisavoy that as a source for the suffering, for the torture they were suffering. And the Biskov asked, he's got nothing better to do while he's suffering under the hands of the Romans than to worry about where the pasuk is in Parshas Kisavoy. And the Biskov said, they were suffering, they were being tortured by the Romans. And it was very difficult for them, but they knew that if they appreciated that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a source in the Torah for this torture, and it's not the Romans, so to say, torturing them, but it's all the other HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason it is, then they would be able to take it. When one boy asked the other one, where's the pasuk, and he wanted to know where the source was in order that it would be much easier for him to take this suffering, to appreciate that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't come from the Romans, and that's why he asked the pasuk. And that, I think, is the reason why there's so many more klalos than brachos. Brachos, Baruch Hashem, if a person is blessed with parnasa, nachas, whatever it is, he doesn't need to find a source in the Torah. He's quite happy, he's got no complaints. We don't need many psukim of bracha, but when it comes to klala, one has to, every type of klala is mentioned in the pasuk, and gamma shaloi kosa b'tayra, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, you should know that every time you suffer, it's a bracha, so to say. It's from me, it's with a cheshbon, I keep cheshbon over time, whatever, because you may not always understand it, but it's like a father to a son. Don't think it's somebody else harming you, it's purely from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the sitka, so to say, that every single klala is mentioned in the pasuk. And in fact, it's another pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, where the pasuk says, "V'hoya ki simsela oisa ro'os rabbis v'tzoris." Another pasuk. When you find those ro'os, when those ro'os rabbis v'tzoris happen to you, "V'omso hashira hazos lefonov le'ed." And Rashi says in the pasuk, "V'omso hashira hazos lefonov le'ed." She'sreisi by the seichal kol hamitzis eisim. Read out the Torah, and you'll find that I warned you about all those things that happened. If you find that there's rois with rois is evil thing, and tzoris is a difficulty, you cannot take it, then look in the Torah and you'll find it written in the Torah, I warned you for them, and then it'll be much easier for a person to take, appreciating that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Gemara in Brachos, where the Gemara brings a particular in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, Lamnaseach le David, David HaMelech was chased by Absalom, his son, who chased him for a long time, and he suffered greatly under the hands of Absalom. And the Gemara of Tashem in Brachos, why is David HaMelech singing a mizmor? Mizmor, he's happy that Absalom chased him. Mizmor le David b'pnei Absalom. It should be kino le David. He suffered under the hands of his son Absalom. Why? What's the pasuk saying lamaseach? And the Gemara says because David HaMelech knew, he'd been warned earlier, that somebody would rise up against him. And David HaMelech said to himself, I don't know whether it will be a son of mine, a descendant of mine, who has Rachmonos on me, or somebody else who won't have Rachmonos on me. Baruch Hashem, says David HaMelech, that the person who rose against me was my only son, was my son Absalom, who would have Rachmonos on me. That's the Gemara. And the Masa asked from the Gemara, what does David HaMelech, why is he singing praise? Because it was his son. We don't find anywhere that Absalom had Rachmonos on David HaMelech. David HaMelech suffered tremendously under the hands of Absalom. How can he say he's happy with his son because his son has Rachmonos? We don't find anywhere that Absalom had Rachmonos on his father, David HaMelech. And I think trust in the Gemara is, of course, there's no question about it. He was promised that person who gets up against him, he would suffer a lot. But David HaMelech knew. He wanted to be able to perceive that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A son, if a son would chase his father, it's completely unnatural. A son chasing a father, a son normally has Rachmonos on his father. It is, if a son would get up and chase his father and torture him, it would be quite clear, David HaMelech would be able to perceive clearly the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If, however, it's somebody else who chases him, which can be natural, so it would be much more difficult for David HaMelech to appreciate it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what David HaMelech was mispallel. He was mispallel that it should be clear that he should be able to see the Yad Hashem. Baruch Hashem, he sent me Hashem, granted that Solomon didn't have Rachmanis on me, but the fact that my son, who normally would have Rachmanis on a father, was facing after me, that showed me clearly the Yad Hashem. Once a person can see the Yad Hashem, then it's much easier to be able to take, and that's why David HaMelech sang Tehillim L'Nasech and David Baruch Hu L'Avshalom B'noi. We find in many places, Sfatem says in Parshas, when Yaakov sent Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, Kel Shakai Yitein Lachem Rachamim. He said, Kel Shakai, says Rashi, Misha Yoyma Le'olam Dal. The name Shakai, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shakai, is Misha Yoyma Le'olam Dal, who Yoyma Le'tzoreisei Dal. Because says Yaakov, I've suffered all my life, so I love him, so I Esau, so I Shochel, so I Binyamin, so I Yosef. I want my suffering to stop. And the Sfatem explains, what's it got to do with the name Shakai? Misha Yema Lo'elam Tai. So he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the more physical the world was created, the more it's difficult to perceive the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more the world that was created in 6 days, that's the mechitza between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and difficult for us to perceive the Yad Hashem. At one point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, die. He stopped the world being created, and he left a gap, a little window, where through that gap we should be able to perceive the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the concept of Misha Yema La'olam Dai. That's the meaning of leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, left a gap, that we should be able to understand that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes we even understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, Misha Yema La'olam Dai. I should be able to have, even if these bad things happen, but they shouldn't be a sorrow. They should only be a roar, not a sorrow. I should be able to appreciate that it's from Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find earlier with Yishmael with Hogar, when Hogar was in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hogar Saul was afflicting Hogar, and she ran away, and she ran to the Midbar, and she cried, and a Malach Hashem came, and he said to her, "What's up, Hogar?" And he told her, "Go back, go back and carry on being afflicted under the hands of Saul." And the mother promised to her son, Yishmael, Kishoma Hashem Kol Omnich, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard the voice of your affliction. And the shaila is, where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard the hand of her affliction? She fled from Saul's house because she was being afflicted. And the mother said, go back, carry on being afflicted. Yet, she felt better now. She felt better, so much so that this mother said, you can call this on Yishmael, Kishoma Hashem Kol Omnich. And the answer is, there's a difference to Hogar before and afterwards. Till now, she thought she was suffering under the hands of Sarah. There was no cheshbon, there was no din. She was suffering unnecessarily. There was no point in it. Once she went to the Midbar, the Malach Hashem appeared to her, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to your afflictions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking everything into cheshbon. It's not Sarah, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who sends you back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon with everything. You should have no time from Sarah. There's a good reason for it. She can talk to say, Shoma Hashem Kol Omi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has heard my voice. I heard recently from Mekur Tirasha an unbelievable story which I think encapsulates this thought. The story goes over a long period of time, but it finished about 10 years ago. That Shach the Seif Yomov, Shach was once giving a drosha b'rabim in front of thousands of people. Shach often did this. He spoke in front of many thousands of people. It was Dvar Chizuk, whatever it was. And when he used to come to these places, he used to get an unbelievable Kavodat Torah. In the middle of his drosha, there were people in the back of the audience who started shouting. There were a few people who were shouting, and they were Mevazahim Barabim. He carried on his drosha. The next day, a few of his Talmidim, Moshe Shivas, came together, and they came to Rav Shach, and they said, we'd like to write a letter to be Mechor on the Kavodat Torah of our Rosh Hashiva. He suffered a lot of bizarin, and as Kovod HaTorah, we want to write a letter to make a mechor on this bizarin HaTorah that happened last night. And Ashach said no, and that letter was never published. And he said, I'll tell you why. He said, 70 years ago, I was yeshiva bachor. And every Shabbat afternoon, I used to go for a walk. The yeshiva was outside the village, and every Shabbat afternoon, I used to go for a walk, thinking and learning. One Shabbat afternoon, I ended up in a local village. And I went into the shul. And in that shul, there was a crowd of people standing around. And one person in the center, he was gasping away to the crowd of people. And I listened, and I went and I overheard what he was saying. And I realized that what the person in the center was saying was pure apikosis. It was apikosis. The Shach said, I shouted, apikosis, apikosis. And I ran out and I left the shul and went back to Shiva. Sunday, the next day, I wanted to know what happened. So I made my way back to the shul to see what happened. And I asked Sunday, what happened? And he said that he was thanked. I thank you very much for what you did yesterday, said the Rav Shach. He said, that man has been dashing apikosis for many, many years. He's been getting a crowd every Shabbat afternoon and he's dashing apikosis. But none of us had the ability to evict him from the shul. He was the son-in-law of the equivalent of a president of a shul. He was the son-in-law of the president, and we couldn't get rid of him. Baruch Hashem, you came yesterday without knowing anything, and you said what you did, the man's run away, he's left us. Rav Shach told the Rosh Hashivas, all my life, I felt I was good what I did, I was happy with what I did, Baruch Hashem, I had the schus to do what I did, but I had one guilty conscience at the back of my mind. I felt for the covers of the father-in-law of that man, who must have received this yearness that his son-in-law was evicted from the shul. And I felt all my life that little bit, I'm going to deserve a punishment. I'm going to get the punishment for the bit of tzar that I caused him. And I felt last night when I spoke to Rabban, I got that bit of illness, that was a middle to negative middle suffering that I received. There's many, many lessons we can learn from this story, but I think one lesson we can learn is a principle, this principle, that when a person suffers, to realize that there's a chesed why he's suffering. When Rav Shach took those vizyonis that night, it wasn't those people at the back of the crowd who were staring him. It came Yad Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midah K'Melel Midah, for something he'd done, he'd remembered 70 years earlier, but he had absolutely no talent against those people. It was purely for Yad Hashem. My Baruch is, with Baruch Hu, we should be zeichet to Tzivach Simetrego, we should be zeichet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give up the Tzivach B'chafor, and be able to pray.
So the intention of our Nisfilah program was originally that each of the speakers who speaks each morning will continue for another 5 minutes to stay over the section for the day, but because Darren Simons has to go away, I'm going to do this but unprepared, so you'll have to help me. Also, I had a quick look during the shiur ahead, and I can see that I'm speaking to myself more than all of you when you come across this. So we're on for page 17. It's day 2, which is really the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but we're doing this beforehand. And it starts off with a story about somebody who had a messy and untidy house. And when guests were coming, they sort of dusted over and they covered over everything and they pretended that the house was nice and tidy. And the children said to their mother, you know, it's a bit hypocritical, yeah, here, that we're trying to make our house look so nice when really it's a big mess all the time. And the mother said, listen, when guests come and you tidy up and you make it reasonably tidy and you make it look as nice as it possibly can be, yeah, then at least you're showing your respect to the guest. And effectively what he's saying here, he says, so preparing the theme of today's lesson is to prepare for davening, to think about the davening, and not just to rush into it and rush out of it. So he says afterwards, preparing to pray not only shows Hashem that one values the opportunity to speak to him, but of course it's dealt in the person himself. If you have the preparation, the importance of the occasion. So the first thing that one has to do, obviously, is to empty one's mind of foreign thoughts, which was really the theme yesterday, which was the idea of not listening to the radio on the way to shul, so that you don't have those thoughts running through your head, rather put on some music or something, unless the music's going to run through your head. Then the second step, he says, is to refill your mind with thoughts that arouse your person's longing to accept Hashem. And the question is, how do we go about it? Then he says, which is why I'm speaking to myself, the spirit of this halakha would therefore be violated on page 18, second paragraph, by arriving late for Shacharit, or by arriving at the last minute to catch a mincha. As Rabbi Stern said yesterday, that in mincha it's even more risky. He says, normally speaking, by the time you get to Shmoneh Esrei and Shacharit, you probably realize that you're in shul. But to rush into a mincha, or to rush into a ma'ariv, it's possible that a person could stand there and daven a Shmoneh Esrei and not really realize until he's up to moedim what he's doing. And he mentions here that a number of rabbonim had an audience with President Bush in 2001, and one of them said that I went to great, great pains, as one could imagine, in order to prepare himself physically and mentally, and every word that he was going to say was measured as to what he was going to say to the President. and therefore say Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Idach even there. So he says, what are the techniques that one could possibly develop in order to enhance your kavanah? We're all balabatim, we've got other things on our minds, we're in a hurry. So Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk, the Naam Elimelech, said three things. He said, four things actually. Know where you are entering, in other words, the covert of the base, the fact that I'm in a base HaKnesses, the fact that I'm in a base HaMedrash itself is something that should bring kavanah to me. What you will do there, the fact that I'm davening rather than schmoozing, rather than discussing other things. Who is in this house? The fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom is here, the Shechina is here, whose house it is, and who empowered you to enter this house? The fact that I'm here at all, I owe to the Rabbeinu Shalom as well. The fact that I can walk, you're right, it's five things. Yeah, the fact that I can walk, the fact that I can think, the fact that I can daven, the fact that I can stand, the fact that I can read, all this, I'm thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom, the very fact that he gives me the koichot so that I can daven. And then he says, so that's your hachana, if you like, before you start davening. He says, during davening, there's also an inyonim of hachana, and the idea that he puts forward here is the idea of pausing from time to time, just to think about what I'm doing and where I am. He says that ideally, before each Baruch Atah, before you say Baruch Atah Hashem, it's kedai to stop. In some of the Siddurim, I think it's in the Art Scroll as well, there's a little title before each of the brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. You know, one of them will be Da'as, one of them will be Teshuvah, one of them will be Slicha, one will be Geula, Panos, or whatever it is. He says it's kedai just to stop for a moment, even to think about that word. This bracha is about panosa. Yeah, maybe I'm not concentrating on it, but that itself is already something. He writes that the Chofetz Chaim said that Hashem granted me a little advice. I'm on page 19 now. That at the beginning of each bracha, one should arrange in his mind what he's about to say. So he obviously looked already at the title. Before that, he says that maybe before Baruch Atah. And then he brings down the Naftali Amsterdam, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. He left several suggestions for preparing to recite Shemoneh Esrei, and the principle is the same. He suggests that before Atah Choinen, before Tekah B'Shofer, and before Ritzei, just sort of make a mark in your Siddur, and just say, I'm going to stop for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, just to think, what am I doing here? He says it's true that preparation takes time, but the small investment of time will bring great benefits, and hopefully that way the Rabbeinu Shalom will help us, that our tefillahs will come with more kavanah and be nisgavel.